Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. The Stoke It Up podcast is a part of the CGN media team. We're excited about 2024, and we're excited to have Lonnie Short on the Stoke It Up podcast, first episode of the year. Lonnie, welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, brother.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Alan.
Hey, man. Let me tell you how I met Lonnie. I came to Granbury, Texas, and transitioned here to live with my mom, actually. I love saying that. And usually that sounds weird, but I love it. We moved here, the transition, and we found a ministry home at Granbury Baptist Church, this very odd, weird, wonderful, amazing, independent Baptist church where Lonnie Lerman is the pastor. But this church, if you didn't see Baptist on the front and you didn't look at the mission stuff and the strategy there, you wouldn't even know it's an independent church now. It's just a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And Lonnie Short is the executive pastor there. And I think that means he does everything else, or he does everything. But I was in a meeting recently with the staff, and Lonnie did a teaching on goals. And I just sat there and thought, wow, I have really gotten away from goal setting. I have not paid attention to strategy in some ways in my life. It's been easy to not do that. And I thought, I have got to have Lonnie on to share about what it looks like to give God our best in setting godly goals, is kind of the title he had. So Lonnie, I wanted to ask you about that. I've listened to you so much on this, and I wanted to ask you about goal setting, because people, this is going to help people. This is going to help people, because I think they struggle with goals, and you have a strategic mind beyond, I would say, most of us. The way you're wired with acronyms and methods and habits, you go further. So I wanted to ask you about goals. So let me just get us going and get you going. Why are goals so important, Lonnie? What's the big deal?
Well, first of all, like most of us, Alan, there's nothing new under the sun. This wasn't original with me. A lot of these thoughts and some of this outline that I put together and taught for years, I came across years ago in a Rick Warren message. And so I've been teaching this for a few years, try to personalize it. Several reasons why goals are so important. They're certainly important for Christians. Some people think, oh, Christians can just let go and let God, right? But he designed our brain to have a focus, have a purpose. And so one of the reasons goal setting is really important is it reveals that it's my responsibility. The Bible says in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, that what God puts in us, it's up to us to work it out. And so God's a God of goals. He has a really big goal, and that's for you to know him and to look like Jesus. And so that's my responsibility, to set some goals that will help me look like Jesus. So that's the first one.
What's
number two, goals reveal and stretch my faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God unless you have faith or put your trust in him. So when I set goals, it reveals how big my God is. No goals, no faith. Big goals, big faith. And so Dad likes it when we trust in him.
And I'll tell you something, Lonnie. When you said that in the staff meeting that day, a couple of emotions went through me. One, I was like, oh, that's aggravating. I don't want to hear that goals reveal my faith, because I have not really even set that many goals and pursued them. And then the other one was, I got to jump back in. This is awesome. Because God wants to bless godly goals.
Right. And the last part of that verse says he rewards those who have faith in him and trust in him and rely on him. So I like rewards. And so that was God's idea. At Granbury Baptist Church, one of our goals is to plant 100 churches here and around the world. So, you know, that shows that we have a trust in the Lord.
100 churches. That's so awesome.
Number three, goals give me focus and purpose. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I just don't go through the motions. I'm not just, you know, beating the air. Goals give me real purpose and focus. It's key to an effective life. it's how our brain works. And so you can spend your life, you can waste your life, or you can invest your life strategically with goals. And so today, if I were to look at how many white Ford F-150 trucks are on the road, you didn't think about that yesterday. But if I challenge you to do that today, that's how your brain works. You would start seeing Ford F-150 trucks that are white all over the road, because now you've got to focus.
Yeah, amen.
Number four, goals give me hope to endure. We know this in heaven. We know that life's not a playground. It's a battleground. We're in a fight. It's an invisible war. And when I have short-term setbacks, goals help me in the long term. And so long-term goals help me with short-term setbacks. We all fall, we all fail, we all mess up. But if you're discouraged today, I would encourage those who are listening today, set some goals and just start off with small ones.
Lonnie, do you think, before we go to number four here, do you think that people set goals for their lives? Just from your observation as a pastor, and you're looking out over the landscape of people?
I don't think the average person sets goals, because I think they believe that they're going to fail and they don't want to be reminded of how much of a failure they are. They don't want to be a failure, so they don't set a goal. So then what they do is they just live a very general, ambiguous life, and they're failing all the time, and they don't realize it till it gets really, really, really bad, and then it's too late. And they're pretty, you know, far down where it's really discouraging.
Right. What's number four?
Number four was it gives us hope to endure. Number five, goals allow God to build character in me. And so one of the greatest benefits of goals is not necessarily reaching the goal. Don't think you're a failure. Let's say I'm trying to lose 20 pounds this next 6 months and I lose 15. Well, don't focus on that you didn't get all 20, but realize that one of the greatest benefits of goal setting is it's building character in you. And one of the greatest benefits is who you become more than what you accomplish. While you're working on a goal, God's working on you.
Amen.
So once again, it's the overall goal is to look like Jesus. And so even if you don't reach every goal and you know, to the, you know, with perfection or to the letter of the T, hey, you're still becoming more disciplined. Maybe you're still becoming more encouraged. You're developing more hope. You're growing more faith. And he's shaping you, and who you are is more important than what you do. We're human. We're human beings before we're human doings. And so the doing should flow out of who you are. And as you surrender, submit, and discipline yourself and trust in the Lord more, he's building godly character in you.
I like it.
Lastly, why are they so important? Number six, and we mentioned this earlier on Hebrews 11:6, godly goals will be rewarded. So we're running a race and we get a prize, and we have an inheritance in Christ, and we reap what we sow. And when we obey the Lord and trust in him and have plans and count the cost and sacrifice here and in heaven, we are laying up treasures above, which is what we're commanded to do in Matthew 6. So there's a temporal reward when we live for the Lord and obey him. There's an eternal reward. And I'm hoping my biggest rewards and my biggest account is my heavenly account.
Amen.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, and a key to that is your heart motive. When we get before the Lord in the judgment seat of Christ, why you do is just as important as what you do. And so it's going to look at the motive. Why did we set goals? Why were we trying to accomplish things in our faith, our family, our friends, our finances, personally, professionally, physically, which are the seven key areas of life that I like to set goals in.
Now, I like it. It's convicting, but I like it. So what you've given us are six reasons for why goals are so important. Now, for our listeners, I'm going to give you this list in the show notes, so you're going to be able to have this. When I was sitting in the meeting, I typed them out in a short form just to have this without any of my notes or anything, just what you had on there, Lonnie. And I wanted to be able to refer back to them because I think a way of thinking like this is also, for me, as important as the goal I set. I'm not trying to say I don't set goals because this has forced me to at least set a couple because there's some things that are important. I'll give you an example. Like I came out of this meeting and realized I need to set a goal of designing a strategy for one of the 100 church plants for when God opens the door. So I came back and I did it. I set a goal to do it. I said, this week I'm going to do it. And I was able to do that in 1 week. Very simple. Wasn't complicated for him or anything. Mm-hmm. Another goal I have set since that meeting was I was going to write a book on new believer follow-up because I'm doing so much of that. I thought I got to get this in writing. Now I didn't meet the goal because I was going to finish by December 31st, but I was 2/3 of the way done by then, and I'm still messing with it. So if you don't set goals, I wouldn't have accomplished all that. I would right. have, I'm a free kind of like, let's just go with the flow, you know, it'll work out, man. That's all good. But the problem is there's a danger with that is that you don't ever set a goal.
Yeah.
And so how do you know when you're growing when you have no measurement?
Right.
Okay, so there's reasons why goals are so important. Lonnie, tell us, what kind of goals does God bless? What's that look like?
Well, just, you know, you could break that down in a lot of different ways, but just generally speaking, just three reasons we could talk about today. One is goals that honor God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you're eating or drinking or, you know, playing or going to the store, going to work, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So anything for his kingdom that honors him is the goal that he wants to bless. If it's for his kingdom and for his glory, for his mission, for his purpose, whatever that is, that's a goal that honors God. He'll bless that. Number two, goals motivated by love. The Bible says in Galatians, what matters the most is a faith that expresses itself in love. Jesus said the two greatest commandments were to love God and love people. So when I am loving God and loving people, then that's a goal that God can bless, God that he really loves. I like to say anything minus love equals zero. So goals motivated by love, that's the greatest thing we can do is love God and love people.
Amen. I agree.
Number three, goals not only that honor God and goals that are motivated by love, but goals that depend on God. And so Proverbs 16:9, you know, gives us some insight on that. We know Proverbs tells us we should be making plans with a surrendered heart to know that God ultimately controls that. So we want to depend on him, trust in him with all of our heart. And, you know, once again, let the Holy Spirit lead us. There's three ways that we can really show that we're depending on God. Number one, we need the Spirit's power, the Spirit's leading. We're to be Spirit-filled. Number two, we need the Bible to guide us. Those are those basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's the roadmap. We need the Spirit's power. We need the Bible to guide us. And thirdly, to accomplish goals that depend on God, we need people to support us. One of the most important strategies in life is effective partnering. That will make or break you. John Maxwell says the number one leadership lesson of all time is those around you determine how high you go. And so it's important who you do life with. And you want to have what I call, I learned from Dr. Kamboa, VRPs in your life. You want very resourceful people. And they will help you accomplish your goals. You want to invest in them first. You don't want to be accused of using them, but you do want to partner and connect. Proverbs is very clear. It's very, very important who you partner with.
All right. I love it. So there I heard what I heard was a little bit of the motive of our goals, because what kinds of goals does God bless? And it gives us the motive to honor God, to be motivated by love. And then our motive is goals that depend on God. That kind of goes back up into the one that convicted me in the meeting, where it says number two, God reveals and goals reveal and stretch my faith.
Yeah.
That's tough. It's easy for me to say I've got faith when I got no goals.
Right. Right.
Amen. So what's a SMART goal?
What's a SMART goal? It's the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T, has been around a long time. And some people use that differently. But today we're just talking about goals that are, the S is specific. The M is measurable. I'll just run through them real quickly and go back. The A is attainable. The R is relevant. And T is time, time-based. So that's an acronym, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time. So one person said a goal that's well conceived is half achieved. And so you want it to be specific, measurable. A new goal that I started recently last year is meditating on scripture. So it's not a very SMART goal to say this year I'm going to meditate on scripture. What I've done, the Lord's led me to do, is I have a meditation strategy called 777, God's number of completion and perfection. And so I take roughly seven verses for 7 days in a row for seven times a day. Seven verses, seven times a day, 7 days in a row. I call that 777 biblical meditation. And that's how I've set a SMART goal on how to meditate on God's word.
That's wonderful. I love that.
So you want it to be specific, measurable. You want it to be attainable. Now, when we're talking about being attainable, you want a goal to be a little bit discomforting, but you don't want to be delusional. So it should stretch you.
Yeah.
But if you don't run, maybe a good goal would be to work up to running 3 miles a day this year. But a good goal wouldn't be to run 26 miles within a week if you've never run before. So that's not attainable. So just focus on what you can do. Don't focus on what you can't do. And then you want it to be relevant. What do you value? What do you really desire? You're not going to put real effort into a fake goal. So your goals can't be my goals. It's got to be relevant. It's got to be real. It's got to be something I'm passionate about. Not just because everybody else is doing the keto diet, should I do the keto diet? It's got to be really what I feel the Lord's leading me to do. And so it's got to be relevant.
And how about the time piece?
Once again, and this kind of goes along with habits are a part of accomplishing your goals. And the way to accomplish a goal or a way to accomplish a habit is to say, okay, I'm going to go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I'm going to work out from 7 to 8. So I'm going to work out. I'm going to go to the gym, which is at our church. And from 7 to 8, I'm going to work out. So that's an achievement, but I want to turn it into a habit goal, because goals can be achievement goals. Like I want to write a book for new believers, or it can be a habit goal. I want to go work out 3 days a week for the rest of my life, for the rest of this year. But if you say what you're going to do, where you're going to do it, and when you're going to do it, you got to have that time factor in there. It's just a dream.
That's a great way of looking at that. What'd you say, habit goal and achievement goal?
Right. So two different types of goals. You need
that
a,
is
you need
great.
You need to distinguish that. Is it a one-time achievement? I want to save $50,000 in the next 3 years. Or is it more of a habit goal, and I'm just going to put away money every week for the next 40 years, and I'm just going to habitually. So some things are just a quicker one-time
That's
achievement.
Great.
Some things are more of a habit goal.
I think that could help people from becoming defeated if they don't, if it's
right.
Because let's say it's both, but I don't get the achievement part, but I do get part of it. And then I get all of the habit.
Right.
I'm still winning.
Right. Right.
So talk to us about the steps there in the notes of accomplishing a goal and habit. Stretch that a little bit.
So we've talked about why goals are so important. What kind of goals does God bless? What is a SMART goal? Now, once again, doesn't do us a lot of good if we're not making some progress on towards accomplishing our goal, even if it's not done perfectly. So I kind of came up with an acronym. I like acronyms. They help me remember things. And so I came up with an acronym that spells G-O-A-L, goal. So the first point, the first step in accomplishing a goal is the G is generate creatively. Dream. Once again, what's God doing in your life? What season of life are you in? What are your values? What are your priorities? What inspires you? Maybe it's a new skill. Something that will stretch you. So that's generate creatively. Once again, our church wants to give over $1 million a year to missions. Well, not every church wants to do that, right? But that's a dream of ours. So that's the G. The O is organized clearly or have a plan. Doesn't have to be a perfect plan, but how are you going to accomplish the goal? And the more details, the more success. And once again, this is where I said earlier, I think you need to have a strategy, a routine, habits to accomplish that goal. A couple of ways to establish some habits is, as I said earlier, name the habit, name a place, name a time. And that will help you create the habit to form your plan. Another one is you can take a habit that you already have and add your new habit to it. So let's say I have a habit of brushing my teeth before I go to bed. Right after I do that, my new habit is to meditate on scripture for a minute. So I tie those habits together. That's kind of called, some people call stacking habits. Just read a good book by a guy named Clear, forget his first name, but it's called Atomic Habits. So we got to have a plan. You got to have a strategy. If your plan is poorly formulated, it's easily forgotten. So when are you going to do it? Where are you going to do it? How long? Once again, if you won't have real effort if it's a fake goal.
All right. Was that all four of them?
Nope. That's the first two. That's generate creatively, organize clearly. Number three, act consistently. You have a goal, you have a plan, but then you got to do something. Are you in motion? I like to say this. God wants you to initiate. Satan wants you to procrastinate. So, and don't get too caught up in the results because you can't control the results. God gives the increase, but you control the effort. And so you got to start doing something. The blessing's not in the hearing, the blessing's in the doing, James says. So start off small, one step at a time, and make the small steps really comfortable or you're going to stop right off the bat. So if you've never been to the gym to work out, start by putting your shoes on that you're going to work out in and then just take them off. That's really easy. And then put them on and walk to the car, walk back into the house. And then put them on, get in the car, and just drive to the gym and turn around, drive home. But as you keep going forward of those real little baby steps, you want it to be comfortable at first. And you're not trying to set a super comfortable goal. You want to be stretched, but you want to start off really small, really comfortable, get some momentum, get some progress. Because here's a really good statement. If you lose your why, you lose your way.
Explain that.
Well, once again, I want to be spirit-led of the goals God wants me to set, and I want to know why I'm doing these. And if it's to plant churches, change lives, make disciples, be a better husband, don't forget the why, and just start off and just keep remembering that as you take your baby steps. Don't forget why you're doing this. I'm not doing this just because everyone else does it. I'm not doing it because, you know, social media tells me to do this, or this is what everyone in Texas does, or I want to be spirit led and I want to love God and love people and set goals, and I want to make him happy, and I want to be rewarded at the judgment seat. And so don't, you know, souls are at stake, and we need to remember why we're doing this. We're in the, you know, we're focus on eternity and changing lives, and it's important. And this week we had our youth pastor's little baby had to have a 7-hour heart surgery. And I thought, man, does that surgeon deserve to be thanked and blessed and encouraged? And he's got a real purpose, and he's saving lives. And how much more when we are working with eternal souls? So don't forget your why. Lastly is look closely. G-O-A-L. The L is look closely. You need to review. Let's say you want to start a goal of riding your bike 20 miles a week. 20 miles a week, you're going to ride your bike. And after about week one or two, you absolutely hate it. Well, you don't have to keep riding your bike. Do swimming, do walking, but review and, you know, make sure it's really what you want to do and what you feel like the Lord wants you to do. It's okay to stop a goal that you started and say, hey, I'm going to try something different. So write your goals down, review your goals, be relentless at trying to accomplish your goals. And, you know, for Christians, our goal is to impact souls.
I love that. All right. So that's a big 25-minute chunk, I would say, of teaching why goals are important, 6 reasons. What kind of goals does God bless? You gave 3 with the explanation there. And then you gave a real simple explanation of a SMART goal. And you can Google that and find some really cool images of this SMART. Everybody's been using it, as Lonnie said. And then 4 steps to accomplishing a goal. And you've peppered in some things about habits along the way. What you said, you had a goal of 777 for scripture memory. What other goals have you set? Any others off the top of your head that you could give us?
Sure. The moment I wake up every morning, I have a habit goal. It's turned into a habit. I thank the Lord when I wake up, before I get out of bed. I divide life into 7 key areas. I mentioned those earlier. 4 F's and 3 P's: faith, family, friends, finances, personal, professional, physical. I take one of those every morning. So Sunday's my faith area that I'm thankful for. As soon as I wake up, I start thanking the Lord about things of my faith. Monday is family. So as soon as I wake up, I start thinking about family blessings. Tuesday are friends. Wednesday's finances. Thursday's personal. Friday's professional. Saturday's physical. So that's a habit I've had for a few years now, and that's become a habitual goal. So as soon as I wake up, I have a habit of being thankful.
Let me ask you this. It's the first of the year. I'm noticing now people are like, there's a lot of stuff in media that's saying we think resolutions are the wrong way to go because people set them and they don't accomplish them. Right. Last year I started out reading the Bible through and I was done by mid-February. I think I just fell apart on my yearly Bible reading last year. Yeah. So I've set a goal this year to come back at it. And I'm listening to it on my phone, and that's going well. I guess what I'm saying is people are doing away with resolutions. They need to be setting goals. So what would be some goals that you think your average Christian should set? And I didn't prep you with this question at all. I'm just wondering, what would you think? What should we be doing? And Lonnie, what I wanted to ask you is, maybe secondly, are goals only for the first week of January, or are they for the rest of our lives? And what does that look like?
Well, every day we should have a goal of pleasing the Lord, and generally speaking. So every day is a new chance to start a new goal or to pick up. Last year, I told you I started the 777 Bible meditation. I probably did that in the middle of the year or in the fall. So I didn't wait till January. Another goal I've added to that 777 Bible meditation is now each week, cause I do that for 7 days. I'm highlighting a verse out of that. So this week I'm meditating on Proverbs 2, 9 through 15. I'm taking one of those verses every week. So this week it's Proverbs 2, 11, and that's becoming my memory verse. So Bible reading, I read a chapter in the morning in a journal Bible, and I'm writing notes in a journal Bible to my second oldest son, and I'll go through the whole Bible. And whenever I've completed, I'll give it to him someday. So the goals of Bible reading, the goals of being thankful, the goals of meditating, the goals of memorizing scripture, being involved in a local church, having a ministry type goal. But once again, I set goals in the seven key areas of life: faith, family, friends, finances, personal, professional, physical. I try to set at least one goal in every area so I'm balanced.
Do you find that short-term goals are good for people and specifically Christians?
Sure. I think you can have a week goal, a 1 week goal. You can have a 30-day goal, a 3-month goal, a 1-year goal, a 3-year goal, a 5-year goal. I just turned 60 and I'm trying to think of some goals for my 60s, the whole decade of my 60s. And I also have weekly goals.
Yeah, I like it. That's where I went after that. I thought, okay, I got some things I need to get done. And so I set a goal to write a book, and I don't know how long it's going to take, but I would have never have attacked it the way I did if I hadn't have been in that staff meeting that day.
Awesome.
So amen. So what I'm trying to flesh out though, for us listeners, is set some goals. If you're listening, let me ask you this. If you're listening and you would say, man, there's things that I want to do. I want to do this for God. I believe God's stirring it up in me and I want to do it and I haven't got it out. Why don't you set a goal? Go and make yourself a plan, copy and paste out of the show notes the SMART goal acronym. And why don't you set yourself two or three? Lonnie, is there such a thing as too many goals?
Sure. Yeah, you don't want to have too many. It'd be overwhelming. You're better just to keep it simple. Like I said, if you're not used to setting goals, set two or three in different areas. If you feel like you can handle it, you could try to set one goal in the seven key areas. I have a goal with my family is to take my wife on a trip 2 times a year. That's a family goal.
Yeah, I love that.
I have a physical goal of working out 3 times a week with weights and walking or biking 3 times a week. So, just start off small, start off with just a couple, keep it simple and grow into it.
So you ride, you're a biker? You ride a bike?
Just a very, very relaxing bike ride, recreational in my neighborhood, nothing on the road going 500 miles or anything.
You're not like the Lerminator?
No.
Lonnie Lerman, for our listeners, I'm just messing with, I'm just talking trash on our pastor. He's not here, so we'll talk about him. Anyway, he is totally physically fit dude. He loves all the, amen. So Lonnie, thanks for coming on. I'm going to go ahead and stop the podcast, and we could keep going on goal setting, but this was so moving to me that I wanted to get it out there because I know it's going to help a lot of people. If you have further questions, you can reach out to me on social media. And if you'd like to get to Lonnie in any kind of way, just hit me up and I can get you his email. Would love to do that. Set yourself some goals. The purpose of the Stoke It Up podcast is to encourage you in your journey with God. That comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul told Timothy to kindle afresh or to stoke up the gift of God that was in him. And we want to help people walk with the Lord and to be effective in their personal relationship with God, communicating the gospel, and living out the Great Commission in their lifetime. And so that includes all of us, of course. We appreciate you for your support of the Stoke It Up podcast. If this content has helped you in any kind of way, we would love for you to share it. Also, as I said at the beginning, we're a part of the Calvary Global Network media team, and you should follow them on their on their handles for social media. And we appreciate you. We will see you on the next episode of the Stoke It Up. And again, before I close out, Lonnie, thanks for coming on, man.
You're welcome. It was fun. Thanks for having me.
All right, my brother. God bless everybody. We'll see you next week.